Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. Thanks for tuning in. Like always, get connected and stay connected by visiting calvarybible.com. Click your campus and find out what's happening in your neck of the woods. We have so many great things happening here at Calvary this season. We want you to step in, but the way you do that is go to calvarybible.com and find out what is happening where you reside. All right, let's get to the show. We have Thomas Milburn. Thomas, it's so good to be with you.
Man, summer's almost here. Are your kids counting down the days?
Oh, man, I'm counting down the days for some reason. I'm like, why do I get a summer break?
Do you remember the first year in your life when it was June rolled around?
Yes.
And there was no break?
Yes.
And you're like, wait a minute, I'm going to work.
Everyone's going to the pool, and I'm going to work.
Totally. Yes. It was so sad.
It was so sad. It's awesome, though, like, even to leave work after 5 p.m., I'll just timestamp that for everyone. And I still have like 4.5 hours of sunlight.
I know.
It's like the whole day's still here.
Yes.
It's good.
When we go into the darker season,
yes,
I get despondent. Yeah, totally. I totally do. It's weird.
No doubt. What's your favorite thing to do in the summer months? Like the one thing you're like, every summer I just love doing this.
I mean, the general answer is be outside.
Yeah.
Obviously. I think Colorado is amazing in the summer. I hate to leave Colorado in the summer.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so good. Like a lot of the high altitude lakes, trails, things that, you know, are snow packed and usually not accessible aren't open till end of June, you know. So you have end of June, July, August to really get to them. And I want to get to them.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Are you here this summer?
Yeah, I'm here this summer.
Are you playing baseball this summer?
Nope, no baseball this summer. It's about to wrap up. The Emeralds are 10-0 as of last night. And I've got to be honest, man, I am worn out.
Are you?
My body is worn out.
That's what baseball does to you.
My emotions are worn out. Yes, it's so good. And it's been a really great season. Proud of the boys and looking forward to the playoffs, which happen in like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's been a fun season. But it was like gorgeous last night, right?
Oh, my gosh.
It was hot. It was like, oh, we're back. Baseball's back. Perfect weather.
It is amazing.
Every week we've either played in snow or rain.
That's the spring.
Up until, totally.
It's like you get moisture in the spring. Yes. In Colorado, it comes in snow and rain.
Yeah. My favorite thing to do in Colorado in the summer is wake up early. It's the time I'm like most energized to wake up around 5 a.m. because it's so gorgeous. Between 5 and 7 a.m. in Colorado are the golden hours of this state in the summer months.
I like to sleep with my windows open.
Yep.
And early in the morning, the birds, you know, like wake you up.
Yeah, totally. It's a beautiful thing.
And my wife closes the window. Yeah. And I'm like, no, we should wake up to the birds. She's like, they're singing at 3:30. And they're pigeons. please go remove them.
That's great. You're like, oh, so lovely. She's like, they're pigeons. Please remove.
Please go kill them. I don't want to hear them anymore.
That's awesome. Back in the summer conversation, end of June, two owls move into eve of the house behind
your
us.
Your house.
Yeah, my house. Yeah. Every summer.
Aren't they huge?
They're huge. They're amazing. So I'm looking forward to their return.
Yeah.
It's just a few weeks away. It's so fun because they stay there until about October 1st.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a wonderful thing to watch. Yeah, like just this nature out there.
You know, that is one nice thing about having the windows open. You hear the birds, and then you hear the owls and the coyotes devour.
No doubt.
Rabbits.
Rabbits.
And you're like, ooh.
Some high-pitched squeals. Yeah. That's funny. That's really funny. You remember that owl? And we now have a producer, Mark Wicks, who has a microphone. So I've got to be cautious. I've got to be cautious in what I say these days. But you remember that season? It was around 10 years ago.
Okay.
There was an owl within Erie that they had to put out a public service announcement for because he was taking cats and small dogs.
Oh, really?
And they had found the nest of all these animal colors.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Long ago.
Yeah, whenever you see like a missing sign, and it's a small domesticated animal, I think it's gone.
Yeah. Like,
that doesn't survive the night in Erie. There's too many coyotes.
There's too many coyotes, too many owls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious. All right, we finished up, speaking of those, devouring, we devoured 1 Corinthians.
We did.
Like that segue?
That's a good segue.
Yeah, and we wrapped up the book. We got around to Mother's Day, which was a really fun preach. I know if you haven't heard Zach Thompson, you need to go hear his preach, his great preach. And then actually Tom Shirk's preach was about even his sort of succession, why it's important, why the scriptures talk about what he's going through in Boulder campus. You want to catch that because that was a really cool preach.
I love that preach. Both those guys did well. We'll talk about Zach's in a minute. I think Tom's is so good to normalize leadership succession. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like from the very beginning, it's a community of people led by someone that God appoints, and it is normal when leadership changes.
Yep.
No doubt. Great. Super great highlights. And how Jesus did that to the disciples.
Right. No doubt.
Man, yeah. I felt totally empowered.
I think the best part about that is as I have been under his preaching for so many years, there's themes that we've talked about this before. He wants individuals to encounter God, to know who God is, right? And the second one, which he highlighted extensively in this preach, was you need to be in the Word of God.
Yes.
And that is his preaching theme. Yeah. Those are his two preaching themes. And I'm just so thankful for that faithfulness for a senior pastor to say, if I'm going to talk about things as a senior pastor, these are my two most important. And it's such a great preach.
It is. And, you know, what we're doing this summer in the Word of God is to help people who have been less familiar with God's story become more familiar, or with those who have maybe forgotten some of these frameworks, to be reminded of what God has done, and the fact that Jesus is not, you know, out of a vacuum with the arrival of something promised. So I'm all in. It's like, let's open up God's Word. Yep. And, you know, we do that. So here's a common experience for me. You'll teach on something. You can be out of 1 Corinthians. You can be out of Romans, you know, Revelation, Matthew, whatever. And I'll give a casual comment of how it connects to Abraham, David, Deborah, you know, Esther or something.
Right.
And then afterwards, someone will come up, because I usually stick around for, you know, some Q&A or some questions or prayer. And someone will say, hey, love the sermon, Pastor. Remind me, who's Abraham?
Yeah.
And I go, man, I'm so glad you're here. And Calvary is experiencing more and more people. It seems like the Holy Spirit is like just blowing new faith in their life, and they're stepping into the church. And so it's awesome that we have people with very, very young faith at Calvary.
Right.
And it's mixed in with people who have very, very mature faith.
Right.
And we want to remind the church who, you know, who's been around for a long time, what are the stories this summer, as well as help introduce for people who did not grow up in a Christian home, did not have parents that were oriented around the scriptures in any way. And so truly they're stepping into church and they have never heard who Abraham is, who Noah is, who David is. And you're going, okay, context is going to be super helpful.
Right.
And that's where you know, what Zach did on Sunday, it's kind of like a preface to the series.
Right.
Loved it. He went to Luke 24.
Yep.
And did the Emmaus Road experience.
Yeah, and we'll get there. I want to talk about sort of this lived experience of individuals who are here at Calvary. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we are so blessed, so just humble that the Lord would give us individuals like that here at Calvary who do not have access or have never understood the scriptures until they came into Calvary, right?
Yeah.
And how would you go about encouraging someone like that to read their Bible and to start to understand what is going on? What is sort of we call it a thread throughout all 66 books of the Bible, 66 individual collection of books through the Bible. How would you go about just encouraging someone to do that?
Yeah, I would find a good resource. Two right off the top of my head would be one, either Max Anders' Bible in 30 Days, I think it is.
Yep, that's a great resource.
And that's that's printed resource, if that's more your style. Or either grab podcast or video would probably be Bible Project.
Mm-hmm.
Bible Project does a great job always keeping the high arc of the story.
Right.
If you're trying to figure out like specific details on systematic theology, Bible Project's not your jam.
You're right.
But if you want to know big arc, meta narrative, word study, stuff like that. And what they do, same with Max Anders, is what is the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a divinely dictated revelation that someone has just received from heaven.
Right.
One singular you know, here. But like you said, it's a collection of, it's like it's a library of God's revealing of who he is through the human authors.
Totally.
Throughout the histories. And so you have different languages, different locations, different socioeconomic class. I mean, you have a lot of different authors, but they're all telling one unified story.
Yep.
And so I would probably find some trusted resource like one of those to at least build the frame. And that's what we're going to try to do this summer, is build a frame for what is the story of God in its creation, in its fall, and its redemption. Mm-hmm. There's kind of four movements. One is creation, so God made, and then the fall is why is it the world's broken the way it is, and then what did God do about that? This is Jesus, redemption. And then there's the looking forward to the new creation or recreation. And helping just even know those four parts helps you locate yourself in the story.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'd even encourage someone who's in this category to get resources like that, to study those things, to find maybe older dear saints who love their scriptures and say, hey, can you just mentor me through this season? If I have questions, can I write them down? Can I ask you over a cup of coffee every couple weeks? That's a great idea. I also think just getting into the word and asking this question, what do I see and how do I fit into this place of what's going on? Because one of the litmus tests, I think, for a believer to live a life with God is when you experience a story, whatever story it is, marriage, death, job, government, failure, brokenness, whatever those stories. If your first instinct to think, what biblical character has lived through this?
Yeah.
I think you are in a great category of understanding how your life with God works. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like,
where would you encourage them to jump into?
Yeah, I think Genesis is a great place. And just to take your time through Genesis and read these great ancient stories that are captivating, fun, exciting, broken, you know, filled with violence, filled with redemption, life, and just enjoy that season of reading through like the book of Genesis. In Exodus, you know, you get Moses who's there. And those are just like great motifs to read and say, what is God doing then?
Mm-hmm.
What is he doing now? And how do I fit in to all that, what God is doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, we go to Luke 24 and the guys on road to Emmaus. Let's set the context for that. So it's Luke 24. These two guys are walking out of Jerusalem on Resurrection Sunday. So they're leaving Jerusalem after Passover. So if we remember your podcast from a few weeks ago, they've experienced a first fruits sort of celebration that morning in the temple if they had been there. They're leaving town, and they come up and they run into a mysterious guy who walks alongside with them.
Yeah.
Who does that mysterious guy end up being?
He ends up being Jesus.
Good Bible answer.
You know, it's like, you know, have eyes open for when you encounter Jesus in unusual places.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Zach pointed out, and you know, it's recorded here in Luke, is that they're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they had hoped would happen with Jesus is a huge disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's crucified. He's been dead for 3 days to their knowledge. And they're now leaving. Like, that story is over.
Mm-hmm.
And that one wasn't going to work out. We're super bummed, disappointed. We're heading out, you know? Because it says, we had hoped he would be the one.
Yeah.
And what it says is, they no longer hope that he's it. Mm-hmm. It feels like that story ended as a tragedy. And then Jesus interacts with them on verse 25. And he says to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, what Jesus himself does for faith is to tell these two travelers, go back to the word.
Yep.
Isn't that great?
It's amazing.
Like, Jesus takes these two on Resurrection Sunday to the same place that you can go to today.
Yep.
That's awesome. Because I think there's so much in us that says, if I was there, you know, if I were Thomas and I got to see his hands and his feet and hug him, you'd believe. And Probably not. You know, it's like, unless you believed according to the scriptures, all that has been promised about him, that's where faith comes from.
Yeah.
So Jesus takes him to the place that you can go.
Yeah.
Which is the writings of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, right, that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And then all the prophets.
Yeah.
He's talking about the Old Testament.
So a Bible study mechanism to understand God's word more is to read the Old Testament and ask the question, where is Jesus?
Yeah, I think that's why a frame is helpful, a guide of some sort, before you even dive into the story, because it tells you what this thing is and where you are in it, right? So if, it's like you watch, you know, a YouTube video right now, it'll actually have it broken down a lot of times at the bottom, right?
Totally.
Of the changes of chapters.
Time-stamped.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that's a good way to think about your scriptures is, okay, it's one continuous story by 66, you know, books, 40 different authors, and what's the timestamp of this episode I'm looking in?
Right. That's interesting. Now, I want to also highlight the believer who says, wait a minute, you mean all the Old Testament has Jesus references in it?
Oh, my gosh.
And we're not even talking about just prophetic references. We're talking about Moses, all like the book of the law, everything in there is starting to point to Jesus.
Okay, let's go back to Corinthians.
Right, great.
Let's go to the second book of Corinthians.
Okay, the second known book of Corinthians.
Second known book of Corinthians. Chapter 1, it's really verse 20, but we'll start back in 18. As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no. But in him, it is always yes. Here's verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. Or your translation might say their amen. This is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. It's like Paul says, in my teaching, the whole thing was about Christ. And everything that the Old Testament was anticipating from Genesis chapter 3, that there would be a seed of the woman coming to crush the serpent head. All of that, the offspring of Abraham, the line of David, the true temple,
right?
Find their yes, their completion, their amen in Jesus. Yeah, it's all about Jesus.
It's amazing.
How awesome is that?
It's amazing. It's a, it really isn't the Old Testament. It's just the older testament of what God is doing.
Yeah.
And it's the older testament that reveals who Jesus will be.
Yeah, there was an old Bible teacher named Chuck Missler, and he would always say it this way. The Old Testament is Jesus concealed, and the New Testament is Jesus revealed.
Right.
So both are testaments of Jesus Christ. He would even call it the First and the Second Testament instead of Old. Because kind of the New Testament, it's 2,000 years old.
Yeah. It's like, pretty old for new.
Old and older testament.
Yeah. Let's do a litmus test on this then. Let's think about a biblical story that most of our listeners probably would have some idea about, and that's maybe Noah.
Okay.
So Noah is commissioned by God to build an ark, right? And then God commissions him to take two of every kind of animal, the clean animals, and put them on the ark, right? Birds, all the things, get to the ark. God floods the world.
Yeah.
Noah and his family saved.
Yes.
A dove is released, brings back land eventually. They end on Mount
Carmel.
Thank you, Carmel. It's in present-day Turkey. So, present-day Turkey, am I right, producer, on that?
It's the question mark.
Yes.
I believe so.
What or how does that point to Jesus?
Yeah, isn't that great? We're going to find out this summer.
You can't do that to me. You can't do that.
We're going to take several episodes. Noah's one of them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, here's a nutshell. Just think about, I mean, you kind of gave the Sunday school version, which I like. There's also a lot of death and destruction, wickedness, judgment.
God shuts the door of the ark.
Okay, so yeah, we'll just go with
like
that.
Like God's judgment on wickedness.
How about like there's a God who is witnessing humanity. He's not aloof. And he is going to hold each of us accountable for how we live. And there are two ways to live because Noah is not perfect. There's a righteous way and an unrighteous way. And the righteous way is not perfection. It is by faith. Mm-hmm. And so Noah is found to be a righteous man, not because of perfection, but because of faith. Mm-hmm. And so God recognizes faith here, and he provides a means of grace
to save him.
That is outside himself.
Right.
That is somewhat what we would think of as like ridiculous.
Right.
To save him. And so he participates in the sense of following by faith God's call on his life to lean into the means of grace, mm-hmm. in which he then boards. And to your point, how cool is it that God's hand shuts the door?
Yeah, God's shuts the door.
But judgment's coming.
Right.
And all those who trusted in God's means of grace by faith are saved.
Through a wooden instrument.
Yes. How great is that?
Yeah.
Later on, there will be another means of grace.
Right. That was made of wood.
Outside of ourselves. That is made of wood. That the Lord himself will bear.
Right.
And all those who trust in it will be saved.
I love how you did that.
And then, I mean, Jesus points out it's even more than just the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. He says, as in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man, Matthew 24.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
That people are going to be doing their life, marrying, burying, shopping, eating, drinking, laughing, watching Netflix. I think this is what he said.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it'll come upon the promise of God fulfilled.
That's right.
The coming of Jesus Christ.
Now, you did that in a master class way. How do the How do people at Calvary learn to have that lens to read the Bible?
Yeah. This is the hard part is you have to read it.
I laugh at that, but that is the greatest answer I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Read the thing.
You have to know the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, when someone comes up after a service and says, man, I love the teaching. I'm connecting with how to live, how to trust in Jesus. Remind me again, who's Gideon?
Mm-hmm.
Like, remind me, you know, who's King Hezekiah?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Isaiah?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's so awesome because by faith you can be saved by Jesus without knowing any of these guys.
Right.
Right? But when you know who they are, who these women are, who these men are, who the stories are, and how they point to your salvation, man, you are going to worship.
Yeah, that's right. Now, it's got to be said, too, that our educational system, the modern educational, the Western educational system, has not taught us well to have sort of a literary eye on how to connect dots like that, mm-hmm. foreshadows, images, symbols that you sort of connected, we connected in the Noah story, right? And it's really important, even as a guy who loves fiction, is that you're not reading fiction. Let's just be clear there.
Right.
You're reading real stories and
historical events. Yeah.
However, you do need to read with an eye to see the creative aspect in which God is telling the story to us.
Yeah. And I think the reason you have license to do that, mm-hmm. is you're following in the footsteps of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jesus didn't do this, if that's not how Jesus read his scriptures,
right.
then we wouldn't either.
That's a great backup to that statement.
Jesus is the one that says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, I'm going to be in the earth 3 days, right? Mm-hmm. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up.
As Lot's wife turned back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh, that's how Jesus is reading the Bible.
Right.
Okay, that's how I'm supposed to read the Bible.
Right.
Great. Fantastic. I'm looking for Jesus in all of these episodes, right? Right. You know, the Jacob's ladder is not just like, we're going to run this in John and we'll run into it this summer. It's like, okay, you see angels ascending and descending, mm-hmm. Jacob's ladder, connection to heaven and earth. And then Jesus says, you're going to see the Son of Man.
Right.
Like ascending and descending. Like, oh, wait, he's the one that connects heaven and earth that allows us to connect with God.
Well, yeah. Anyway. Even Jacob lays on a rock as a pillow, which is where the ladder comes down, like Jesus is the cornerstone rock or faith. Like, it's like, come on, people.
It's so good, right?
It's so good.
And I loved how Zach actually taught through it on Sunday, saying one of his favorite genres, I think, is like suspense or mystery.
Yeah.
Where you're watching this whole story unfold and it's sort of clicking. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden at the end, it all comes together when something is revealed.
Right.
That was somewhat concealed. Mm-hmm. It wasn't hidden in the sense of, hey, you couldn't have known about it earlier, but it just wasn't obvious. And then having seen the conclusion, you then want to immediately watch it again.
Right.
I think the quintessential movie for me is The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Right? If you haven't seen that, it came out in like 1995. That's on you, man. That's not me. But you find out the whole time as he's moving through life, he's actually deceased.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy cow.
Right.
I have to watch that again.
Right.
Did they clue us in? And then every moment along the way, you're going, oh, yeah, he's actually deceased. He's this ghost of a man showing up.
Yep, that's right. Let me put an addendum to what you should read, to Genesis and Exodus. I would say in the New Testament, read the book of Hebrews.
Oh, yeah.
Hebrews does this wonderfully. Not only does it mean that he loves coffee because he brews. Bible joke.
That's
pretty lame.
That's great.
That's a dad joke if I've ever heard one. But
would
it really
you name your coffee shop something like that?
Totally. Sorry, that's awful. I don't know why I went there. It's one of those timestamps in history that I'm gonna be like, oh, why did I say that? Anyways, so we get to Hebrews, and the Hebrews tells us how Jesus is reading the Old Testament in Luke 24.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is strange. And it also helps you, if you read the book of Hebrews, to go back to your Old Testament afterwards, and you'll start seeing it.
Yeah.
He sort of, the writer teaches you how to read while you
Again, read it. What's challenging with it, and this is probably the challenging thing of all Christian faith, and I think Jonathan Edwards, the American mind.
The greatest American mind seriously. Of all time. Yeah, no doubt. That is fact from my producer.
Essentially, it's just like, you kind of have to know the whole thing to know any part of it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because you don't know the whole thing until you know the parts of the thing. Yeah. And so you're like, okay, how do I put this thing together?
Right.
And that's why I think guides and frames, being in the stories like you're talking about, becoming familiar with them, just over time will help this thing come alive. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, totally. Yeah, and if you have young kids, another resource that keeps popping up is the Jesus Story Bible, which we give out at baby dedications. Yeah. And if you're a young family, young parent, and you don't have a lot of time or space in your day, but you want to read the Word of God, you should read that with your kids. Mm-hmm. And it actually trains you how to see the Scriptures as well. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Because a lot of people, I think, will come to the Bible in more of a systematic way of like, okay, we're all the verses about lying.
Right.
And you just kind of memorize verses about lying or, generosity, and this is a moral principled book. Like, there are moral principles. Don't get me wrong. There's great teaching on wisdom, but that's coming through. It's coming through what I would say is the covenants that God has with people as he's revealing himself through human authors, through human history, through real lives that are lived, like mine, like yours. And once you see that, it's like, oh my goodness, I see my own story in here of God interacting with me. And then the character of God just grows bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's awesome.
So I'm excited for the summer. We're going to look at least a dozen episodes and try to put some frame around what is this. So my encouragement is, anyone who's listening, think about who's someone in your life that doesn't have that frame. Maybe they're a young believer or not yet even a believer. Mm-hmm. This is a great series to say, come hang out with me. Mm-hmm. We're going to start diving into the story of God together. And here's the spoiler alert for everybody. At the end of that series, we're going to start the Gospel of John in August. And so you should be able to say, okay, we're building a frame this summer. And then when we get to this fall, we're going to go through the Gospel of John through, I guess, Easter of 26.
Yep.
It's like, oh, Jesus is going to come alive to people in a way that they've never seen him before.
That's wonderful, Thomas. Now, let's go back to the producer. Isn't it Mount Ararat that Noah's Ark is put on? Thank you. You said Mount Carmel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
Mount Carmel. It is Mount Ararat. Come on. Producer, any side notes here on that? Is it modern-day Turkey?
It is in modern-day Turkey, yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I like you that you have a microphone now. This is great. Yeah, Calvary, we're just so thankful that you're tuning in. You're going to stay connected. And also, if you need to, get connected here at Calvary this summer. Thomas, thanks so much for walking us through this new sermon series. Just a few brief notes for you. In the next few weeks, we have some things happening around here. We have the beginning of a new sermon series. We have the beginning of summer. So the weekly might not be so weekly coming in a couple weeks. You also, Thomas, has some travel, which is going to be really fun to hear about later on this summer on the weekly. Yeah. But let me leave you with this. Blessed are those who walk, Blessed those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my way may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Calvary, let us be people this summer who maybe on those long summer nights, these cool summer mornings, wake up, read the Word of God, delight in meeting with him in his scriptures, and that you would join us this summer as we get through, by faith, a sermon series here at Calvary. Like always, go to calvarybible.com, stay connected, and get connected there. So many great things happening this summer with Kids Week, middle school camp. We don't want you to miss out. Let me leave you here with this. We're always praying for you. We're thankful for you. And we will see you very soon.
So you guys might appreciate this as a little extra at the end of the podcast, but Mount Carmel is where Elisha is made fun of for being bald.
That's right.
And the bears come and maul all the young men who are making fun of him.
The first youth group.
The first youth group.
Makes sense if you've been a youth minister.
We should definitely teach on that story.
No doubt.